Well, good morning, everyone. I invite you to turn to Judges chapters 13 to 15. I listened to our district superintendent's message from when he was here on the second half of the life of Gideon, and it's interesting for me because he said he apologized to Pastor James. He said, "I told you I wasn't going to read it, but I read it." And we tried something creative in terms of reading a longer passage with the first half of Gideon. But I thought, three chapters, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You'll be walking out the door. But if you take your finger and put it on the text, and I want to point to three or four verses that are important in this text. Because we believe that this book is given to us by the Spirit of God by His inspiration. And it's given to us for our lives and for our godliness. So take your finger and just, I want you to notice a little half a verse in verse 4 of chapter 14. Okay? Notice that his parents didn't know what was going on. It was from the Lord. But the Lord, verse 4 of chapter 14, Judges 14, was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for that time they were ruling over Israel. So God had something he was doing here that they didn't realize. But then the other thing, more important or just prominent here, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be talking about that as we move along. So look at verse 6 of chapter 14 again. It says here that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, so he tore a lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. Any old farmers, you tear any goats apart? I don't know. I didn't do that. But the Spirit of God came on him there. And then over in verse 19, again, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their clothes, and gave them away. And then verse 19. No, that was verse 19. Now chapter 15, verse 14. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came to him shouting, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And that's what caused ropes that were tying him up to snap, and then he did another deed for himself, but the Lord said it was for him. And then finally, at the very end, something that's easy to miss. Notice that in verse 19 of chapter 15, that God opened up a low place, a hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. And when he drank, his strength returned, he revived, and it's still there. And then he led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So God's grace was apparent in Samson's life. Next week, we will finish Samson's life, and then there's still some that we have missed in terms of the judges, whom we have been calling unusual people and surprising people who God has used. We'll come back to some of them. I heard this week, I mean, they just keep getting worse and worse and worse. But that shows the grace of God getting better and better and better. And that's what we celebrate this morning. My wife is still in Seattle, just so you know. Busily watching grandchildren, three boys and a now baby girl in two different homes. And then she'll be back a week from Monday. So I'm halfway there. Appreciate your prayers for us. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we're grateful that you are here this morning. And Lord, we come to hear from you, not from the one who's speaking now. Oh no, please not. But from you. And so, Lord, would you speak to us? We thank you for these ancient words that we call the Bible, that you have given to us. Lord, make them live, but Lord, would you express your being, Lord, within us and beyond us, that we might obey you more fully. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we say that we're saved by grace, but we can be the most uptight people in the world, can't we? We Christians. So we're saved by grace, but man, are we worried about the coronavirus? We say that we're saved by grace, but man, are we worked up about what's happening in the schools or not this fall? We say that we're saved by grace, but man, we are pounding the pavement because if our candidate doesn't win, then everything's going to fall apart. We say that we're saved by grace, but we got health problems and personal problems and things are really bad, but it's really, really hard for us to trust the Lord when things are falling apart. We say that we're saved by grace, but this is Pastor James and Kaylee's last Sunday, and man, we're worried. What's going to happen to Valley View? We say that we're saved by grace, but what's going to happen to his church when many churches aren't even meeting at all still? Or others are just having a portion of their people back. We say that we're saved by grace, but sometimes we forget that that grace continues beyond where we're saved into life and into eternity. And we see that in the book of Judges, and particularly in the life of Samson. In Samson's life, in chapter 13, what we see is that God gives grace when we don't even care, because his plan is bigger than ours. So Samson's dad, Manoah, and his wife, Mrs. Manoah, not named, sorry, sweetheart, but she wasn't named. But I mean, they were in rough shape. They had not had any children in a day when having children was very, very important. No fertility clinics to go to at all. And an angel shows up to them, to her and to him, and says, "You're going to have a baby boy." And she's pretty excited about it. And he's excited about it. But the angel says, there's a condition here. Your boy is going to be a Nazarite. He is going to start the delivery from the Philistines. They had been delivered from the Midianites, but the Philistines were still holding on. They were a coastal people. They were on the coast of the Mediterranean. And this guy, your boy, is going to deliver them from the Philistines, but he's going to be a Nazarite, which means he's got to follow a few conditions. Famously, he's not going to cut his hair. Everybody remembers that about Samson. We'll talk about that next week. He's not going to be drinking. No alcohol for him. So he's probably not going to be a party boy. Maybe. But he's not going to be able to touch any dead bodies. He's set apart for the Lord so that he can do the Lord's work. And the parents nodded their heads and said, "Oh, this is wonderful. We have a son. We hate the Philistines. We're ready to be delivered. It's going to be our boy. Thank you. Thank you, God." And then the son didn't want anything to do with it. So Samson's born. He seemed to have a mind of his own. And then he sees this sweet little Philistine girl a little ways away, and he says, "I want that girl." And he says, "Dad, go get her for me," because that's the way that they did things. And so Dad went to start the process going, thinking, "I thought you were a Nazarite. I don't know what this is going to do to the will you ever do anything to deliver God's people?" And he went over. He went to the Nazarites. He went to the Philistines. And along the way, Samson encounters a lion. And it says that the Spirit of God came on Samson. And Samson ripped that baby apart like a baby goat. Farmers, maybe. No, he ripped it apart with his bare hands. And it happened because the Spirit of God came on Samson. And Samson was running after Philistine women. Samson now has a dead body on his hands. He doesn't care. He hides it from his parents Because what he really cares about is himself. He doesn't care about the call of God. But God is gracious anyway. Because God has a bigger purpose for Samson than he would ever understand. God wants to deliver his people from the Philistines because God has promised to bless his people and to use them to shine his light to the nations. But Samson didn't care. Maybe he cared way back, but he didn't care. He borrowed stories from his mama. But no, he didn't care. And God blessed him, and God was gracious anyway. Have you ever been at the place where maybe you just didn't care anymore? Have you felt that way over the last 3 or 4 or 5 months? I went into the store the other day, went into Aldi, and people wearing these, and I mean, it's like you'd think they would talk. I don't know if it's because you can't see each other's mouth, but I mean, people are just like sad, and it's like we're walking through a war zone, and it's like, it's a sad place, and it's like, do you just give up? Do you just say, I don't care anymore? What do you do? It's just so stinking hard. And then I talk to parents and teachers and some of you among us and all of the shenanigans. And do we send our kids to school? Do we not send our kids to school? Homeschooling shooting up to the roof. But then what is homeschooling going to look like? Oh, what does that do to our work? I mean, it's just crazy. And then in the church, you know, I think when I was younger, I wanted to make 100% decision, you know, check every box and everything. And as I get older, I realize, you know, we can make 80% decisions. And in COVID, you know, we're making decisions here, and you are too. Is it 40%, 50%? You kind of throw a dart in the wall and you say, Jesus, bless the dart. Because we're in a situation that we've never been in before. Yeah. And some days, you just get tired of it all, and you just want to say, forget it, I don't even care. But look at how God blessed Samson, how he was gracious to Samson, because God had a bigger plan than Samson. And Samson, who didn't care about things at all, only cared about himself, became an instrument in the hands of God to accomplish the purposes of God among his people and in this world. If God did that for Samson when he didn't care, do you think God could do that for you and for me? Could God do that for Valley View? Could God do that for other churches in our area and in our world and the kingdom of God as we live out the kingdom and live out the church in a nation that we are part of for a while, but this world is not our home? Could it be that God would be gracious to the nations, some of the nations of the world that may not even care, may not even know him, but God's got a plan for them? Does God indeed want to do something in the Arab world, something maybe unusual during this time? Could it be that God would be gracious to them and to us as he was to a young man who didn't care? But what if we do care? What if we do care, but we don't know what to do? What if we do care, but we're really clueless about where to move next? That's the way it was for Samson. Samson comes back now to get his woman, get his wife-to-be. And he notices, oh, look at that carcass over there. A bee made a little hive in there. And oh, there's honey in there. And his folks don't see it, but he does. And he knows he's not supposed to touch dead bodies. But, you know, he does what boys do. He's hungry. And he's a big guy. And he goes over and he scoops out the honey. And he says, Mom and Dad, hey, look at this. And they have a sweet little afternoon treat. And he just enjoys it. And then he goes up to marry his wife. And they've got like a week-long, engagement celebration. They give him 30 groomsmen. This is a big wedding party. Some of you guys have a big wedding, but this is a really big wedding party. 30 groomsmen they give him. And he says, hey, guys, we're going to play a game, which they did at their engagement. They had a week-long engagement in those days. And he said, I got a riddle for you. He says, what is something that's come out of an eater that you can eat? And what is something that's strong that is sweet? And he said, here's the deal I'll make for you. You solve this riddle, I get you 30 suits of clothes. Now, on that day, they didn't run over to the mall and grab something on sale. No, they had very few suits of clothes. And so for everybody, this was a big deal. But he said, if you don't win, if you don't do this, remember these are his arch enemies normally. He says, if I win, then you buy me 30 suits of clothes. And so I will go off on this to this wedding in style. Well, they thought about it, and they thought about it, and they thought about it, and they got halfway across the week, and then they decided, you know what? This is a matter of pride for us and for our city and for our nation. And I think we need to talk to our girl and her papa. And so they went to her, and these were dastardly people, dastardly men. And they went to her, and they said, if you don't find out the answer to this, then we're going to kill you, and we're going to kill your dad. And she did what any good bride does. She cried. And she cried, and she cried for the rest of the week. Day after day after day. It's supposed to be a big celebration. Oh, yeah, they got this riddle going on, but it's supposed to be happy. And she's just miserable, and she's crying and crying and crying. And Samson, this big, strong guy, does what any big, strong guy does. He says, what do you want, sweetheart? And she said, I want the answer to this riddle. And finally, he gave in to her. And he told her the answer to the riddle, and she told the boys. And then when they got the boys all together, they said, oh, we heard that you killed a lion, and you came back, and there was honey in the carcass. And so something to eat came out of the mouth, and something sweet in the carcass. And that's what it is. And Samson said, well, how'd you find that out? And they said, oh, well, we got it from your wife, and he found out he threatened him, and Samson was mad. And Samson says, I'll get you your 30 suits of clothes. And so Samson ran off several towns away, and he knocked off 30 other men and got their clothes and brought them back and gave them to the wedding party. Samson was not following the way of wisdom. Samson did not know what he was doing. He was clueless. He was going after a Philistine wife. He's handling dead bodies. He's angry as angry can be. But the Lord is gracious to him. The Lord empowers him. The Lord is using what he's doing to begin a process that will end with David in defeating the Philistines. How could God be gracious to somebody who's totally clueless like that? Have you ever felt totally clueless like that? Well, maybe not like that. I have. I mentioned how we're making decisions, with far less information. It's been hard even just to meet sometimes face to face. And you're doing the same thing. You're throwing a dart at the wall and saying, is this right? Is this wrong? We've never been here before. We've never done this before. And that's happening in homes and in businesses and in schools. I've been watching the Eastern School District because we had talked about maybe having them here. We're not, but we're going to have some school buses do a changeover in the yard. I just thought, man, I'd hate to be a district superintendent right now. We're doing things that have never been done before. It's crazy out there. Never mind personal situations and the implications of all this. How could God be? Could God be gracious to us when we're clueless? If he was gracious to Samson with his foolishness and his absolute cluelessness and godlessness to accomplish his purposes anyway through him, might God be gracious to you and to me, to others who love him in our church and in our area and throughout the world, and even maybe to those who are clueless even about his name. That's the way our God is. He's gracious. In fact, grace means that God gives us something that we don't deserve. And he does that through life. So Samson now says, it's time to claim my bride. It looks like he hasn't even married her yet. You know, they haven't quite finished the engagement week. And so he goes back up to see his father-in-law and say, hey, I want to get my bride now. And he gets up there and his father-in-law says, oh, man, you know, we hoped it had worked out, but you are from another nation, and you know we're not real excited about you. And we just, you know, we wondered if you'd actually come back. So I gave your bride, my daughter, to the best man. I hope that's all right. So why don't you take daughter number two? And Samson thought, well, you know, that worked for Jacob. You know, he got Leah, and then he got Rachel, and eventually. But he said, you know what? I'm not Jacob. I don't like this. And he was ticked. Now, it was harvest season. And the Philistines, who lived on the coast, they had good crops going that year. They had everything gathered in. They had their wheat was stacked up and ready to be threshed. They had wine all ready for the harvest festival. And Samson says, I know what I'm going to do to you. And he went out and he caught 300 little foxes. Would have been gathered them perhaps in groups, tied them tail to tail. And then he put torches on each of those foxes. And again it says, you say, how could someone do this? It says that the Spirit of God filled him to do it. Did he deserve that? No way. But then he set them loose one night, and they went all through the fields. And the entire harvest of that area of Philistia was gone. He didn't deserve it. But God used him. God was gracious to him to accomplish his purposes. So is God gracious to us when we don't deserve it? What is grace anyway? Don't we believe that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense? We are receiving the riches of Christ, not because we deserve it, but because of what Jesus did for us. Samson goes from here now. And he's restrained. The Jews are afraid that a war is going to start. And I'm sure it's ready to go. And the Philistines were more, they could not defeat the Philistines. And so 3,000 Jews came out and they gathered around Samson. They tied him up until he cried uncle. And he said, okay, you got me. And they said, stop this craziness. Because the Philistines were coming to get Samson now. And Samson is hiding. He's in a cave, and 1,000 Philistines now come down the hill. And when he sees them, the Spirit of God fills him. He doesn't deserve it. And he grabs a donkey jawbone, a jawbone of a dead animal, and swings it around, and because the Spirit of God was empowering him, kills 1,000 of the enemies of the Lord, beginning the defeat of the Philistines, which will end with King David, that little boy with a sling. All because God has a bigger picture. All because God is greater. All because God is gracious to him and gracious to us. We don't deserve it. That's what grace is. That grace is something we deserve. It's the forgiveness of God and its presence, not just when we come to Jesus, but as we follow Jesus and as we follow him all the way home. I need some volunteers, okay? Young ones, I think you're okay, but they need to be tall enough to be able to be seen. I guess we could do it up here. Okay, could I have 4 volunteers? You're not going to have to say anything. Just hold something. Okay, come on up, Colt. Okay. Okay. All right. And Aaron. Okay, so Aaron, I want you to be a traveler. You can be here and you're going to be traveling this way. Okay? Okay, you can just travel right here by the pulpit. Okay? And Colton, you're going to be back here. Okay, and I want you to hold that sign so everybody can see it. Okay, and then I need another volunteer. Okay, Susan? Okay, Matt? Okay, Susan, I want you to go over there on that wall and hold up the sign Grace so everybody can see it, and come on over here, Matt. Okay, and I want you to hold up this right next to Aaron, okay? Okay, so Aaron, you're walking. Okay, you're going this way. Okay, excellent. Okay. So, when Aaron looks backwards, she sees grace. Because grace is what put her in a relationship with the Lord as she goes through life. And she talks about what we would call our testimonies, that the Lord saved her by his grace. And she knows Jesus, and it's grace. It's through grace that she knows him. Is it true, Aaron? It is. Okay. But then as Aaron's walking, grace is with her. You see, the grace that got her started in the person of Jesus by his Spirit is still with her as she continues on in this journey. Tis grace that brought us safe this far, and grace will lead us home. Okay, you guys can be seated. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good job. Good job. You see, grace is where we live as the people of God. We're really good at looking back. And over the next 6-8 months, we're going to be telling some stories of how we came to Jesus. But what we forget as brothers and sisters is that grace leads us safe thus far. And grace will lead us home. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't seek the Lord. Samson did not seek the Lord. But the Lord was gracious to him anyway. But remember, David came. You know, a generation or two later, the Lord came to David, and the Lord chose David because David was a man after God's own heart. But you remember, David failed. And that psalm was read this morning by our worship team. But the Lord was gracious to David even in his failure, even though he sought him. So we should seek the Lord. But it's not our seeking the Lord that gives us grace. It's grace that gives us grace. It's the Lord that gives us grace. And that's why we're blessed, because of grace. Now, Solomon was clueless. He was a fool in the Bible's really definition of a fool. And Solomon wrote about that. And Solomon talked about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. But even Solomon messed up. But the Lord was gracious to Solomon. And that grace continued on with Solomon and was gracious to his people through David, through Solomon, and led him home. And now there are thousands and thousands and millions upon millions who are home with our Lord. But they're not there because they deserve it. They didn't get all the way home because they deserved it, because they'd been such goody two-shoes or been faithful to the Lord. No. They failed like we fail. But the Lord brought them all the way home by His grace. By His grace. And so let's remember His grace. Let's live in His grace. As we think about the scriptures, as we think about the story, let's think about grace and how God was gracious to David and to Solomon and to Peter and James and John and to Samson and to his parents and to all of God's people. And He will be gracious to us as He was gracious to them. And then let's think about our Savior. Let's reflect on Him and His kindness and His gracious, that He, the shepherd, gave His life for the sheep, that we might know that amazing grace. Not just in the past, but today. Today, with all of this craziness that's going on, whatever it is that's weighing down on us, that's how we can know what Matthew 11:28 means. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burden. Oh, Christian friends, let's throw off the burden. Not through our hard work, but by spending time with Jesus and reflecting on His grace, which is greater than all of our sin. It's enough to just let it go. At the end of this story, we're not done yet. We're yet to meet Delilah. Samson was tired out. He'd had some busy days. And the Lord in His grace says, let's get some water for you. You know, he couldn't run over to Rudder's or something. The Lord caused a spring to come up and Samson was refreshed. And it says here, and you'll see again at the end of the Samson story, it's repeated, that this rascal, by the grace of God, ruled, and that means gave peace to Israel for 20 years. Why? Because we have a gracious God. Can you see it? Our God is gracious. Can you see it? It's not about us. It's about Him. Can you see it? It's not about how hard we work. It's not what programs we have. It's not whether we think of the greatest ideas for our personal or our church or our society's programs. It's the grace of God. Let's abide in that grace. Let's celebrate that grace. It's an amazing grace. It's a sweet sound that saved a wretch like me. And sorry, like you, but we rejoice together. It's a sweet, sweet sound.